may be seated. And again, it's a blessing to have both Father Kramer and his wife Stacy. I think she's going to share a little bit with us as well. And they come to us, I think I've already mentioned where they come, and I think many of you already know them. So I'm going to just turn it right over to Father Kramer.
Cool. Bill, you want to come up and pray for us? Yeah.
Father God, we thank you so much for this Sabbath day, a day of rest where we can just come and cast our love on you and just love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We ask you right now, Holy Spirit, to just come and anoint Jerry. Let every word have fire. Let every word be sharp and piercing, and may it pierce our hearts, Lord, so that we may be transformed and more like Christ after this sermon than we were before. We love you, we bless you, and we give you all glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, babe. It's really good to be here. Y'all are, you're a great parish. You really, we are professional church visitors. You know, we come back to the U.S. about 3 months a year and drive about 10,000 miles and visit about, 30 churches or so. And I just, y'all really, you're special. You're special. We've heard about you. You have a reputation for being very generous and a really great place. But just to be in your midst. As a Southerner, I just say, y'all are real sweet. You know? I'll give you a Southern code, though. You ever hear when we say, bless his heart? No. That means we don't like that person. Did you know that? If you're ever South and like somebody says, bless your heart, he didn't do so well. Like, you know, it's like, oh, that police officer who gave me that ticket, bless his heart. So I just want to give y'all a little Southern code here. Stacy and I are missionaries to Muslims. We spent the last 4 years living in this place called the Islamic Revolutionary Republic under Sharia law. And we've just, when that wasn't enough, we take our vacations in Iraq. So we've been there 10 times since the rise of ISIS in August of 2014. And we'll be moving there full time this spring. So we're going to talk about the mission of God, the big mission, God's plan for the world and how we all relate to it. In the gospel today, Jesus says we are to be salt and light. That's our calling. So we're going to start with the big picture of God's mission, and then we're going to just really aim the plane right here at Western New York, at Tonawanda. And I really mean this. I want to not get so stuck overseas. We're going to see the big picture, but I want to focus everything here locally. What does this mean for you all? How do we live this out at St. Bart's in Tonawanda? This is not what you're expecting. This is not the give the missionary $100 to go away weekend. Okay? I mean, I'm not asking for anything. We don't ask. We're here to tell the story of God and how we fit into that story. So just put your checkbooks away and relax. We're going to just have a Jesus day today and talk about him. And then I do want to say something about why we don't follow that call, maybe what gets in the way, but then what it looks like when we do. Okay? That's our plan. We good with that? Okay. Like for an hour and a half, we good? I'll get you. You know, I'm an African. I, you know, said y'all have watches. I have time. I can do this all day. I'll get you out of here for the Super Bowl. All right. So they think I'm kidding, Father. all right, so the big picture. Here's the big picture, planet. And part of what we do is just there's no TV show, there's no news program about what God is doing on the planet that I know of, really. Like Fox, CNN, nobody's really. And there's incredible news to share. Like our blessing is to come back to the church in the U.S. that we love. We love the church here, we love the bride here. And just to encourage and to share and to connect what God is doing, connect the dots. So on the planet today, on the globe, there are 3 billion people with no access to the gospel. That's 40% of the planet. No one reaching them, no local church, no gospel presence. 3 billion, 40% of the planet. And this includes 1.7 billion Muslims. Okay? And if you look at a map of the globe, you'll see that these 3 billion, we have to start thinking about this, these 3 billion unreached people, where do they live? Well, they live in this sort of band from West Africa all the way through North Africa, so we pick up Egypt and Tunisia and those places, into the Middle East, and then into the stands, and into Iran, Persia, into the Indian subcontinent, all the way through China. Okay, so think about that part of the world. When we ponder the Middle East and North Africa, what do you think about? What goes on there? Great places? Yeah, what say it, war? Yeah, what else? Come on.
Poverty?
Yeah. Jihadis, ISIS, al-Shabaab, right? Okay. Yeah, absolutely. How about human trafficking? The second largest industry in the world is the sale of women. Did you hear that? The world's second largest industry today is the sale of women. The three worst countries in the world for trafficking are Thailand, Nepal, Turkey. We've been to two of them. All in that part of the world. Now we think about it, and about the persecution of Christians, the few there, right? The last year, 2016, was the worst year in history for the persecution of Christians. When we hear persecution, I mean, stop thinking Rome and Nero, you know, thinking today. We better think China and Iran and Iraq and Syria, places in Africa. That's happening lifetime right now. So think about it. The worst stuff on the planet, okay, where it's coming from, its epicenter, is where there is no gospel presence, where the people are not yet reached. Does that make sense? Start now? Yeah, okay. And we should see this. And think about it. If we're really honest, we say that what's going on over there we don't like, right, when we see it on the news, but we really don't like it when it comes to our shores, when it's here in our midst, right? Like, I'm from Texas. Texas is the fastest growing Islamic state in the United States right now. Okay? We'll have more Muslims in Houston in 10 years than in Dearborn and Detroit, Michigan. Okay? Top three. Houston is number one. San Antonio is number three for the rise of Islam in America. And see, the reason they're coming here now is very simple. It's because we didn't go. We didn't go. We didn't send the missionaries. So this is just the price of not doing what God said to do in His Word. You know, look at the whole in the Bible in Israel. When you're not lined up with God, bad things happen, right? But it's always there's always a chance to return. There's always that moment where we can get back lined up. But the problem is we have sent 1 out of 10 missionaries to the 3 billion. And we only give, of all the church dollars that are given, we give 5 pennies of the dollar to mission, the thing Jesus said to do, the purpose of the church, and we give 0.5 penny to the 3 billion. We are among only 2,000 full-time missionaries for 1.7 billion Muslims. We're 1 out of 10, and we go with 0.5 penny. Okay? And then there's the price. You know, see, there's the price. See, the way we treat mission is to say, we're going to do our budget, and we're going to do our facilities, and we're going to do our stuff, and then what we have left over, we're going to do for mission. And that tends to be 5 cents on the dollar, and 0.5 penny for the 3 billion. Okay? And then we don't like what's going on in the world. We don't like what's going on in our country. The problem is we're not synced up with God's heart and God's word. As Anglicans, you know, you know, we made a bold stand for the gospel, right? I was deposed. I lost my pension. I lost my health insurance. Was kicked out. All good. But, you know, we made that biblical stand. But then over here, there's this call to mission that we're not doing. You know, and disobedience is disobedience. And there's a price to pay for it. And we're going to pay the price until we get right with God. But the good news is that God is faithful and God is good even when we're not so good and faithful. And He's got a plan and He's working it out. We just have to join. Because right now, you are living right now, 2017, the largest move of Muslims in history into the kingdom of God is happening right now. We've never seen anything like it since 632, death of the prophet. All around the world right now, the biggest move of God. So in China, not Muslim, but China, some Muslim, 30,000 baptisms a day. Did you know that? China has more Christians than America now. Did you know one of the fastest growing Christian countries in the world? Iran. Iran. The fastest growing Christian country in the world, Nepal. There were 7 Christians in Nepal in the 1950s. You know what the largest sending country per capita of missionaries in the world is? Mongolia. No Christians in the 1950s. None. So God has got a plan. God is going ahead. All we have to do is join with them. See, the mission is not an afterthought. It is the purpose. It's the whole purpose of the church. It's why we are here. It's what we are called to. It's not something we do after we pay for the light bills, you know, and the potlucks and all the other stuff we do. It's the whole point. See, every local church, you are a global church with a mission's purpose. We're one body. We're one church. You are a global church whose purpose is mission, here and in the nations. See, we're to be a missionary movement. Jesus launched a movement that moves. If we don't move with him, we die. We know that denominations die, right? Churches die, denominations die, the whole church can die. Think of what's the largest unreached nation in the world? Anybody know that one? Largest unreached nation in the world, Turkey. Turkey, okay? Turkey, 5,000 non-believers in Turkey, 99.99999% Muslim. They're the largest sending country of Muslim missionaries out to the world to come get you and your grandkids. That's what they do. Istanbul, city of, we've worked there, city of 15 million, the most mosques of any city in the world. Okay? 99.100% Muslim. And the call to prayer goes off in the morning at like 4:35. It's like an air raid. You know, it's like lights are on, sirens, horns, you got to wake up. I mean, it's just all Islam all the time. In 1911, Istanbul was 50% Christian. 1911. The church collapsed. It caved. It stopped being the church. It lost the go of the gospel. We lost the go. When the church loses the go of the gospel, it dies. So the purpose, the whole purpose is to be a movement with God. And you are blessed to be a blessing. That's why you're blessed. You are blessed to be a blessing to your community and to the nations. That's why we're here. That's what this is all about. That's God's heart. It's God's plan. God's plan for the world is you. God's plan for Western New York is you. We sit around and wonder when God is going to do something. You know? I mean, we sit there and we pray, come Holy Spirit, come. And the Holy Spirit's saying, go church, go. Right? All right, so the point is, there's always the grace and mercy of God, and he's doing it. He's out there. We just got to line up. We have to line up with Scripture, line up with his word, and just do what he's doing. See, we're all called we all have a purpose. Everybody here is called. And I don't care how old you are. If you have a breath in you, you have a purpose. You never outgrow your purpose. Ever. See, when God calls us, he calls us to a purpose. And see, when we encounter God for real, something really real happens. We're changed. When we really meet God, not when we meet church, not when we meet denomination, you know, when we really meet the living God, he changes us and he sends us. It's what you look at Scripture, it's what always happens. It's 2 Timothy 1:9. He has called us with a holy calling, not in virtue of our works, but in virtue of his, we are called to his purpose. His purpose, what's his purpose? You are called to the purpose of God. What's his purpose? Every one of us, his purpose is the redemption of the world, the reconciliation of the world to himself in Jesus. That's his purpose. That's what he's doing. Everyone who meets God gets called to that. And the whole Bible is the story of people meeting God and called to that purpose. Abraham, first time he meets God, for real, what happens? What does God tell him? Get out. Go. Leave where you're prominent. Leave where you know. Leave where you're comfortable. Leave your homeland. Get out of your safety zone. I'm not even telling you right now where you're going. You know? But just get out. Go take great risks. Go make great moves. But we're going to get out. See, God will never bless you except to be a blessing. You've been called to his purpose. That's the principle here, Okay? See, that's how you know you're really dealing with God. I meet people all the time who say, I don't know if I really know God. I really don't know if Jesus is in me. They struggle with that. And there's an acid test to it. When you meet God for real, and not the God of our image and likeness that we make up, you know, you are changed and you are sent. There's a go. You know, we create so much in our culture a God of our image and likeness, right? Come on. Liberal Protestant churches, they're great at that. You know, I don't like what the Bible says, so I'm going to make up a God who agrees with me, right? Or a God who changes his mind. There's no such God. Doesn't exist. They've made him up. That God has no power. That God makes no demands on our life. That God cannot change nations or change lives because it doesn't exist. The real God, that's what he does. See, and what we get out of it, though, and when we line up with his purposes, what we get is joy. We find what we're looking for. We find real joy because that's our calling. It's what we're made for. In John 17, Jesus is praying to the Father, as you sent me into the world, I am sending them. And Father, as you made me a man in mission and sent me, I am sending them. But why? He says, Father, I'm saying all these things that they might have my fullness of joy. You see it? That's the call. The call leads to joy. You know, see, nobody has joy like someone who knows they have the good news and they have the power that will change lives and communities and nations. See, there's no joy until you serve something greater than your own interests. You know, see, the world is going to come to you. The world offers us this. You're going to be happy if you do this. You're going to be happy if you do that. I'm kind of short, fat, and bald. So, like, you know, TV commercials at night, you're going to be happy if you grow some more hair with this thing, you know, right? And you're going to be happy if you take these pills and lose some weight. We can't work on the height issue, but, you know. all day long, 24/7, our young people today, we're just always being told, do this, get this, buy that, be this, you're going to be happy. No one ends up happy. Because it's not our purpose. It's not why we were made. You know, we're always seeking joy and contentment, but we have these things in our lives. They're little idols, and then our idols are these. They're wrapped by fears. You know, if your idol is your bank account and your retirement account and your security, all your fears are going to be wrapped around that. If your idol is your career and career advancement, you know, all your fears are going to be wrapped around, does my boss love me, and am I making the right contacts, am I advancing quickly enough? See, we make kids our idols. See it all the time. You know, we don't go to church because we have children's sports. I call it the tyranny of children's soccer, right? It's true. I've gone. We have select team. I have to be gone 7 months a year. You know, if our kids are our idol, you know, all of our fears are going to be wrapped up to, are they going to get into this school? And are they going to go to the Ivy League? And I have enough money in their college fund? And da 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 da. That's where our security is. Yeah. See, God, it's not about us. It's when we get out of self that we actually find what we're really looking for. If we really meet God, we lose our consumer mentality. We stop saying, what's in it for me? We start saying, how can I spend myself? What more can I give? What more can I do? That's the blessed life. You know, that's the blessed life. I'll talk more about fears in a little bit, but the blessing is in the go. The blessing is in the following God's call because it's what we're made for. I had to go to Iraq for just before Christmas. What we were doing is there's about 200,000 Christians left. There were 2 million at the time of Saddam. There's 200,000 left. We're trying to keep some of them alive in there. And what we're doing is $50 will keep a Christian family fed for a month. So we were racing over food and blankets. You can get 35 below there. Northern Iraq is the same latitude as Minnesota, if you knew that. We had 30 kids, get very cold, 35 below. We had 30 kids freeze to death one night, one camp. Okay? So we're getting blankets and food and stuff and toys and trying to get them through Christmas. And our team on the ground was sort of doing that. And I rolled in on December 22nd, 23rd. I just preached on a Sunday, drove straight to the airport, flew over to Iraq for 48 hours. All right, I'm kind of tired and cranky. Being honest with you, like this is a little out of my way. All right, so I get over there. My wife doesn't want me to go, and I'm sick. So I get over there, and I find out they're already done. They've done all the relief, and I'm sitting here. That's great. That was a nice 48-hour flight. Right? And so we're kind of making the best of it. I'm like, God, why am I here? What is going on? Why did I come? And so we were doing some extra relief, and that was nice. But it was nighttime, and it was very cold. Okay, cold for me is when it gets below 75 degrees. Okay, just want to be honest about that. So I'm in a, are we good on that? Okay. So like I'm in bed fully with my blanket and my coat and clothes on, my boots, my gloves, my scarf, in bed, in the hotel, can see my breath, I'm cold. And it's like 4 a.m. and I got to send an email out, we got a problem. The only way to get email is to go down to the lobby. So I go down to the lobby, oh my God, is it cold down there. And Iraqi guy, night desk guy, is passed out on the couch with like his blanket and the space heater aimed on him. And he looks like a bear hibernating, right? And I don't want to mess with him because he's like comfortable. So I'm being really quiet. I'm tapping my quiet email out. And he sort of, he pops awake. I said, oh no, I disturbed him. And he comes over and he goes, sorry to disturb you, mister. Sorry to disturb you, mister. And I'm like, man, I'm sorry to disturb you. You go back to bed, bro. Just get under your bear blanket and go back to bed. He's like, no, I must disturb you. I must disturb you. I said, what's going on? And he said, so he just woke up startled. And he says, Jesus Messiah just came to me in a dream. And he said to wake up and come to you and for you to pray for me that I receive him in my life. I just said, you know, like I'm pastor dude, right? Because like I try to keep that not so prominent overseas some places. And I said, like, you know, I'm pastor guy, right? And he goes, oh yeah, Jesus told me. So I prayed for like an hour with him. I mean, we just prayed and prayed and prayed. And we got done and he was like crying. His name was Hormiz, which means Gabriel, by the way. Wow. And so he was praying, crying, and hugged him. And he just said to me, since ISIS, I feel like no person. Now I know Jesus, I feel like person again. That was the go. That was the why, the blessings and the go. You never know. Now again, why don't we go? Why don't we do this? Again, it's just these fears we have, these places that we plunk our security, you know, that we're giving more weight to than God, whether it's checking account, retirement, savings, career, kids, sports, whatever it is, we just cling to these things. And what we're saying is that ultimately that if we really trusted God, he would let us down. I mean, that's really what we're saying. That's ultimately what we're saying. When you're saying, you know, this is more than God can handle. That's what we're saying. You know, if I got to have this amount in my banking account, all my fears are going to revolve around that. You know, what you're saying is, you don't think God can handle that he's not big enough. See, the process of growing in grace and growing into Christ-likeness is to find out these things we're basing our security on. You know, those things that we're resting on instead of God, and then get rid of them and cling to him. You see? See, there's always a sin under the sin. There's a surface sin and an underlying sin. The surface sin is there, but the underlying sin is just saying, God, I don't believe you're big enough. God, I don't believe you're good enough. You know, I can't like, I mean, I've got my little idols I've got to shoot. But, like, you know, with our kids, people have said, you're bad parents. We've had friends tell us, you're bad parents taking your kids to Iraq. You know, we've had missionary friends, actually, whose the grandparents have gone to court to take their kids away from them. You know, because you're being bad parents. We love our kids, but ultimately they're God's. You know what? And they're not our idol. You know? And if it comes down to God or our kids, we're going to go with God. And they know that. They know that. The agenda is Jesus. We trust God with our children. He's good enough. He'll handle it, whatever it takes. He's that good. He's that big. You see, faith is acting on what we know to be true. We just have to know it's true. Faith is actually really, faith is thinking. Non-believers out there think that Christians don't think. We don't use our brains, right? Anybody familiar with that? I went to Harvard Kennedy School. They think we're stupid. They do. They think we're brainless. That's how they think of. Don't delude yourself. They think we're stupid. I was there. Yeah. I had more persecution at Harvard than I did at Iraq. Okay? True. I'm not kidding you. And no lie. And see, actually, it's the opposite. Fear is an absence of thinking. Faith is thinking about God and accurately thinking about Him. Here's a definition of faith I like, Martin Lloyd-Jones. Faith is a refusal to panic. Isn't that good? Faith is a refusal. See, you like that? It's the essence of faith. See, God calls us to go and to go in faith, knowing who God is and knowing the truth of God and just trusting on that without fear. You know, and it's not going to work to say, we can't kind of double down on, we can't just say, okay, I'm not going to be a coward, I'm not going to be a coward, I'm not going to be a coward. Like, it doesn't work that way. Like, if I come to you and say, do not think about the word elephant, you're going to be thinking about elephants for the Super Bowl. You probably are. I mean, I just ruined your Super Bowl. You're going to be thinking about elephants for like a week. Don't think about elephants. It doesn't work that way. What we have to do is, it's not about trying harder and digging down. It's just really repenting and saying, God, I'm sorry for making this thing my idol, and give me the grace to put all my trust in you, and walking through that and living that out. Okay? And like how this looks then is when you get into these situations, you just know that you know that you know. So when we first went to the, it was our last scouting trip to move to the Islamic Revolutionary Republic. We had, rough neighborhood. We had 40 churches burned, 3 clergy shot in the head, 1 had his face burned off with acid, spiritual son was killed. It's just rough neighborhood. So anyway, the mission team was kind of done. We're going to the airport, and it's that, made it out alive. And so the team all goes ahead of me, because if there's a problem, I want to be there to catch him, right? Like get on the plane and we're missing somebody because they got hauled off to jail. So I'm always last. So I'm last, the team goes through, I'm walking through security, my last checkpoint, and oh my God, there is like the biggest, meanest Muslim lady I have ever seen in my life. I'm not kidding you. I mean, she was full hijab, and she's, I can tell she's cranky just from her eyes. That's all I can see, and she's in a bad mood. And like, oh my God. And she's, I mean, wow, she's intimidating. So I'm, and I know she's eyeing me, and I just come up and I'm like, and she says, first thing she says to me, what were you doing in my country? Okay, now normally I will say something like, we don't lie, but I was enjoying your beautiful beaches. It's a lovely country. Great food. I love it here. It's swell. So just visiting, you know, that's good. You get to go. And I heard clear as a bell God say, spill the beans. Tell her everything. Tell her the truth. Anybody else I can talk to? Because that's really stupid. That's really, really stupid. That was like we got called to Iraq when it was like raging war with ISIS. I'm like, that is a very bad idea. That is a dumb, bad idea. So I'm like, no. That is not a good idea. I don't want to do that. And I just really calm, gentle, just tell her, okay? But I know that I know that I know he is good. And I know that I know that I know. I think he's good, okay. So I just said, ma'am, I'm an Anglican priest and missionary, and we're getting ready, just visiting here now, and we're going to come back and move here and tell the people about Jesus here in the Islamic Revolutionary Republic. Dead silence. My life is in the balance. And she pulls me in real close. She like grabs my collar. I come in real tight to her. And she says, thank you. Hurry back. We need you. Praise God. He's good. I just know that I know. That's what it looks like. All right. Now, I know that some of you, let's get practical with real. I know some of you cannot go to the Middle East. I know some of you don't ever want to go to the Middle East. Okay. I kind of like it, but that's me. You're not exempt from the go. You're not getting out of this. Why? Because it's your purpose and your calling, you know? And you can't be too old for this. It doesn't work this way. It's what you were made for, who you were made for. You know, a 2,000-year-old redwood tree still has a purpose, right? It's to pursue its tree-ness. I'm a philosopher. We talk that way, okay? That's why nobody talks to us. Okay. But a tree is just to be a tree. It can't stop being a redwood. It can't retire. I'm 2,000 years old. I'm going to stop being a redwood now. I'm tired. I'm going to let the younger generation of redwoods be trees. You cannot retire from being a tree. You cannot retire from your purpose and calling. It's who you are. Yeah. I mean, when you make it to 2,000 years old, call me. We'll talk. But, you know, until then. So there's a go for you. I don't care. You can't not do this. There's a go. There are people all around you in Western New York who don't know Jesus. You have family members who don't know Jesus. You've got gobs of refugees coming in here, right? See that as an opportunity instead of freaking out. Why? They're easier to get here than over there. They're low-hanging fruit here. They're easy to get here. We have a much tougher time back in there, the hornet's nest. Here, easy. Churches that are reaching out to them, fruit. Yeah, there's a go here for you. You know, be a blessing. And you don't need a PhD. That's the other thing. You don't need like massive training. You do not need a seminary degree. You do not need a PhD. Look, what did Paul say? Listen again. He said, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. I decided to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified, and in the demonstration and power of the Spirit. So, I mean, what do you need to know? Jesus, right? And if you yield to him, you're going to see power, demonstration of power. You know, in China, where we're seeing 30,000 baptisms a day, do you know what their seminary is? Prison. If you've been to prison 3 years for being a Christian, you can be a pastor. They will not accept a pastor who has not been to prison. Come on, Father. We're going to do some jail ministry for 3 years. Right. Okay, but now some of you are saying to yourself, you know, that's nice, but my go is gone. I'm like, my go is gone. No, you're part of the go. You're just as much part of the go as those of us on the front lines. There's no separation. There's no difference between us there and you here. Actually, you're more important. I'm the guy there. Stacy and I are the people there. We're telling you the honest to God's truth. You're more important. You're the engine. And it's prayer. It's prayer. That's what you do. That's your call. That's your big part of the go. It's the biggest part of the go. Prayer strikes the winning blow. Ministry is just cleaning up results. When we are baptizing over there, Muslims, when we're getting relief to the Christians, when we're taking care of the orphans, when we're seeing the Yazidi worshiping Jesus in UN camps, all we're doing is sweeping up your prayer results. You prayed. Somebody prayed. That's it. That's the go. That's the biggest part of the go. You're frontliners. Why? Because prayer is not preparation for the battle. It is the battle. You know, as long as you have a breath in you, there's a prayer in you. You pray in the victory. All the baptisms, the move of God in the Middle East right now, all of it happening right now, it's all prayer. That's the engine. You can do that. Every great movement of God can be traced to a kneeling figure. D.L. Moody. We have across the world right now, about 88 places where all Muslim community that has now come into the kingdom. I mean, these are nasty places, right? And I can tell you, I don't want to tell you where they are. They're nasty places. All Muslim accepting Jesus. We can trace all 88 to someone who prayed. One person who prayed in the move of God. So I can commission you today right now as a frontline missionary to the Middle East.
Okay.
You good with that? You're a great commission missionary. You're a frontliner. And God honors you just the same way. We're just one line together, working with each other, with God. You ready to do that? You're a great commission missionary. Every one of you is commissioned today. Every one of you. Because that's the call of God. That's the commission of God. Friends, 30% of Muslims coming into the kingdom come because they've had a dream of Jesus. Did you know that? So they're having these visions of Jesus. Guess what? Here's how it works. God's so smart. He's really smart. I think I'm smarter some days, but he's really smart. And so we're 8 hours ahead. So here's the deal. While we're sleeping, all the little Muslims are sleeping over there, you're awake. You're praying into their dreams. 30%. That makes you, if you do that, you are 5 minutes a day. We call it the dream team. 5 minutes a day. That makes you a great commission ministry. That's your go. That's an incredible go. Stacey, you want to just share a story of a dream?
Actually, I want to share a story of a go.
Oh, then share. Okay, well, you can. I do what she says. Nobody gets hurt. So share your go.
I just want to tell you about one time when we got a group together, and these are people who had been trained in healing prayer, and there were maybe five or six of us. First thing we did was we went into the church. This is in Zanzibar, and we are now in Kiwingwa, one of the poorest villages in Zanzibar that we know of. So we're in the church, and I had brought just a brand new Muslim who had converted to Christ. She was so new that she, even when we went from where we live to Kiwingwa, she had to wear the burqa and the hijab. Now, as soon as she got in the church, she shed her clothes. And I taught her right then how to do healing prayer. She said, lay your hand on the person and say, in Jesus' name, be healed. First lady was healed. And the girl looked like this. You know, and then so we do this in the church. Tons of people get healed. And now we're going to take it out into the village. First person that we come up to is a Muslim guy, very old, blind, and lame. Has to walk, you know, by leaning on things. So we go into his hut. It's a mud coral hut. And again, there's like five of us. And it's not cool for the chicks to lay hands on the dude. So we have Andy Hanar and his son laying hands on the blind guy. We share the gospel first. And faith translated, and then the brother gave us permission to pray for his blind brother. And we just said, blindness, get out in Jesus' name. And we all agreed. We took two stabs at it, bing, the blind guy sees. Then we pray for his legs, the blind guy walks. So he's walking out, and you can see him. There's a threshold, little tiny piece of, you know, rotted wood. He steps over it. He's on rocky coral ground, and he's walking. Pandemonium in the village breaks out, as you could imagine. Everybody is, like, screaming and yelling, snapping pictures. The blind guy sees. Later on, we went into a bar. We ran into three prostitutes. One was a Muslim woman, one was animist, one was Christian background. And so I'm the chick, and if you were here last night, my testimony is a little colorful, so I got roped into sharing my testimony. And I share my testimony, ask them if they want to receive this Jesus, share the gospel. All three prostitutes want to receive Jesus. We laid hands on them. They were delivered. They received the love of Jesus. And they're baptized. That Sunday, the next Sunday, they are in church. We were there.
Front row.
The power is in the go. We also got invited into a 5-star hotel that same Kiwingwa visit. And we got invited in. One of the, you know, there was a Christian believer who was working the security gate. So all five of us get in. They gather all the staff who are on break. And we say, anybody got pain in your body? Jesus is in a good mood today. Everybody got healed. We shared the gospel. Everyone received the gospel. Many of them were of a different denomination. They were Christian, different denomination, had never heard the gospel. They were doing works-based religion. They hear the gospel, and they all received it. I just want to tell you, church, the power's in the go. We went. And it says and when Jesus sent out the 70 and he comes back and he said, I saw Satan fall. It's because they went. So go and watch Satan fall. God bless you.
Cool. So we're all part of the go of the gospel. We're all part of the go. You can go, a big way you can go is in prayer. That's in massive. You can give, and for a lot of us, it's pray, give, advocate, pray, give. You can provide support for Bibles for new believers. mercy ministries, training, transportation. So many people in the right now, when we go on medical missions and provide medicine, food, blankets, it's a tangible love of Christ. I mean, who showed up? Who showed up with the Christians to love on these people? You know, the ISIS is going to be flushed out of Mosul pretty soon, and they're all going to be put in detention camps. Okay? It's going to be big, massive UN detention. These are going to be prison camps with ISIS dudes in them. And you know what? We're going in. We're going in with blankets, and we're going in mattresses. We're going to show them the love of Christ in real ways and share why we are there. So you can pray, and you can give. And you can encourage, and you've been doing that with us this weekend. By the way, if you're nervous, we're almost done. Okay? It's almost, we'll be done soon. But you know, I'll just be very, very honest with you. There are some days that are pretty rough. I don't have any go in me. I'm sitting in my prayer chair, you know, and you've had new believers disappear. You've buried priest colleagues. Your spiritual son gets killed. You know, you're having a bad day. And I'm sitting there in the heat, and down, and I have no go. And the only reason I can get up is because I know there are people in Tonawanda with us and praying for us. Some days, you know, you say in military, you ultimately fight for your buddy. You know, you fight for your buddy. And some days, it's just, you are with us, I'm going to honor that. I know you're with us, I'm going to fight for you. That's all I got. That's the best I got. I wish I could be more pious, you know, but I'm just being honest. Some days, the only fight I have left in me is because I know you're fighting for us and you're praying here. That's what you can do. That's the difference it makes. So friends, and maybe the go for you is to go to leave our concern about financial security, our concern about the career path. Maybe it's leaving some TV time and Facebook time and internet time to come and intercede and to come and pray. Because the battle is being won right in here right now. And I'll just wrap with this. It's just, we cannot be a Christ follower just by going to church on Sunday. That is not going to work. It never has worked. Is it working? Is churchianity working in America? How's America doing? Okay. We've been practicing churchianity. I did it. Look, church on Sunday, I'd show up, and then I'd sneak out after communion. We call that the quarterback sneak. All right? And I'm telling you, I did not know Jesus. I was in church, you know, went through seminary even. I mean, I was working for the church, but I was just showing up, did my duty, quarterback sneak, out to lunch. I did not know Jesus. You know, you're not going to know, you cannot be a disciple just by coming on Sunday. We have to get into discipleship. We have to get into the Word. We have to come here and pray. Pray in the daytime for our country. Is our country worth praying for? Are your grandkids worth praying for? The nation's worth praying? That's God's heart. Come in at night, pray. Where's the prayer meeting? Pray, pray, pray. Disciple, be a mentor. You know, have a mentor-ee. Who are you pouring into? There's so many people out there now you can pour into. Be a disciple. Make a disciple. Okay? Look, when this happens, when the church is following Jesus, we can tear down any stronghold. We can tear down any nation. We can defeat any enemy. The power is there. We can do this. God is ahead of us. We just have to be the church and follow the call. Let our light shine before others. So friends, I want to thank you for your love, your generosity, but I want to call you deeper. And it's not about money, because you're just really generous here, but I want to call you to greatness, to call you to more. You're an amazing church. But there's a call on this church to greatness, a new gear, praying in a new gear for St. Bart's, to kick it up one level. Not just a place that writes checks and is wonderful, but a place that there's a movement stirring out of here, a discipleship movement. That St. Bart's is a place where you're training and resourcing people to go out and hit the dark places in Western New York and to go out and hit the dark places in the nations. You now have a branch office in Iraq. Isn't that great? You can visit anytime you want. But see yourselves now as the epicenter of a movement that's moving with God to go do more discipleship, more getting into the Word, more reaching out. You know, there's another gear for you, and I'm praying it. That's called greatness in the kingdom of God, and I'm praying that over you today. So you're blessed to be a blessing. Everything God has given you is for His purpose and for others. You can put all your trust and security in Him. Just don't panic. Just put it all on Him. Friends, go take great risks for God. Start taking some big, make great moves for God. Get out. Get out. What are the great risks that St. Bart's can take for the kingdom of God? What are the great moves? I pray that He'll show you what He wants to do with you. We'll close with St. Paul. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I pray that you will see and realize that prize is Jesus. Amen.